Hey there, everybody, and welcome to a special CTIA podcast. It's not only the Android Central podcast, though I think it's going to turn out to be so. I am Phil Nickinson. I am the editor of AndroidCentral.com, and with me this week in this very special show is deputized Android Central Cub reporter Kevin Michalik.
Cub reporter,
I love it. Newbie. I messed up a couple posts, 2 out of 4, but 4 posts in a day, that's pretty huge.
You're a monster.
Thank you. I tried.
And we have Dieterbone, the Smartphone Experts Network of websites, web blogs.
And we are here at CTIA 2011 Spring Edition in sunny Orlando, Florida, where you drive everywhere and all the restaurants are glorified fast food chains.
We're not going to complain about how hot it is, because Dieter and I live in Florida. Now, Kevin, you're melting because you're from, the Arctic North.
And enjoying every second of it, except it's really dry, and I thought it would be, humid.
Yeah,
no,
it is kind of dry. And I thought it was just because I'm used to Miami weather, but no. No, and the convention this year, bigger than it was last year, but
not
that's
in
not
Vegas.
Really hard.
Right. Not in Vegas.
Not in Vegas, yeah.
It turned into an Android show pretty damn quick.
I think that we're going to need to stop pointing out that these shows are all Android shows pretty soon, because that's just going to be the default. We'll have to point out if it's not an Android show.
Well, no, okay, put it this way. The announcements are Android. The accessory sections, the whole kind of side of the trade show exhibit is Apple, Android, a little bit of BlackBerry. Maybe a little more. Depends on the booth you're at. Then, CTIA is all about infrastructure and technology and, what makes LTE exist. And I love the word femtocells, which I still don't know what they are, but I love them. They're
femtocells?
Awesome.
Oh, it's a repeater. It's like a little tower in your house that you hook up to your Wi-Fi.
Why doesn't the world just everybody have one of those and we don't need carriers anymore?
Because we get the carriers own them and charge them.
God!
Apple on them. Yet at the same time, they would love us to have them.
So crazy.
So let's walk people kind of through our week. It's now, Wednesday afternoon?
Yep.
We all got here Monday, and the show started in earnest Tuesday morning with keynote. And if you've never been to one of these keynotes, they're generally
snooze fest,
except...
No, well, see...
Literally, I always fall asleep.
What they are is they're literally... CTIA is the wireless organization. I don't think that...
Nobody knows what it means anymore.
They stopped saying what it stands for.
Right.
It used to be an acronym, and now it's not anymore, I think. It's always, they get up there and they talk about how regulation is bad and evil, and we're helping save the world through cell phones, and look at how many texts were sent last year, look at how much data was sent last year, look how blah, 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 blah.
And we need more spectrum.
Yeah, and wrong. And this year, we had 3 changes that were completely awesome. Change number one... is the new CEO of CTIA, or no, new chairman.
Chairman
is Dan Hesse from Sprint.
The Sprint CEO. You've seen him on all the commercials.
And he was just, usually we usually get it from Steve Largent, who's
awesome,
but very, sales pitchy. And Dan
Hesse's just reading teleprompters.
He literally had his hands in his pockets the whole time. He was just kind of laid back.
Hesse was very chill.
Yeah.
I liked it.
After that, we had Jenikowski.
The Federal Communications Commission chairman.
Yes. And
it looks like Matthew Broderick.
A little bit.
And Julius Jenikowski.
He talked about giving spectrum. He didn't get too feisty with them about neutrality, and that's because the FCC has bent over and done whatever Verizon and Google asked them to do, apparently. but whatever. It was an improvement over what we typically get at CTIA, which is hate on all regulation.
Yeah.
They haven't really done anything, because he announced last year all their action plan items to free up spectrum. And they've managed to free up 0.25 gigahertz in the 2.73 gigawatt range. And I haven't seen them hold any auctions yet. I mean, Obama did sign some executive orders, which I don't think have translated to anything. But
then the real action came when we had...
They did a little panel.
And Kevin would normally be full out sleeping right now.
Oh, for sure.
This is... historical truth, full out sleeping Dieter has to wake him up.
Well, first off, the moderator of it was Jim Cramer.
Yeah, which I...
As in, I have to talk like this even if I'm asking what you want to have for dinner.
And he had this crazy sheaf of, legal paper all crinkled
and,
up.
Stuff printed out, he was going to use it and take notes. He probably just grabbed it from some intern in the back.
He asked questions that were meh, but then some were good, but then he was annoying, and he was Jim Cramer. But anyway, the panel consisted of Ralph De La Vega, AT&T,
And he was the, no, what did he head? Did he head CTIA? He headed something.
Yeah, before. I think he was in charge of CTIA before. Yeah. And then it was Dan Hesse from Sprint in the middle, and then it was
Dan Mead
of Verizon.
So, the oil baron himself.
He looked like an oil baron.
Because
he
was like a
southern gentleman.
Yeah.
He just, and Dan Hesse was the only one without a mustache, but like, man, I had never seen Dan Mead at length before, but he just looked like he was so bothered by these Yankee scum, you know?
You can see when he gets mad, he kind of like, the lip twitches, he holds his perfect posture. And
yeah, just, exactly.
He's been coached. So you have the CEO, president.
He's been coached.
That guy's got to be a billionaire, and he deserves it. He's wicked.
Dude,
he's my hero.
He went to etiquette school. I mean...
So you have the CEO and president, CEO of... the three, and soon to be only three, major...
if it goes through.
If it goes through. So if you haven't heard by now, AT&T has agreed to buy T-Mobile. And
he
so
started
that was
out with that question.
Right, and that was kind of the elephant in the room. So T-Mobile's president was supposed to be there. He was scheduled to be there. Dropped out for obvious reasons. And Genachowski, the FCC chairman, obviously said he wouldn't comment on it while he was speaking, so don't even bother asking. But we had the president and CEOs of the three major carriers all sitting right next to each other with Jim Cramer pressuring them and asking questions in his voice. And is that how it sounded?
They did engage each other more than I expected.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good.
The highlight of the keynote was Dan Hesse. He just let off zinger after zinger after zinger.
Yeah.
It was awesome. The only one I remember now is they were talking about LTE and they was talking about the spectrum he would get from T-Mobile and how excited he was to be able to roll out 4G and, you know, all this stuff. And we're going to put 4G to 95% of the population. This is why you should let us buy T-Mobile.
He was saying
LTE. He was.
Yeah.
But he was saying 4G. So then he says, wait a minute. I thought you guys already had 4G.
Yeah,
T-Mobile. It's like,
or when Cramer asked the question flat up, and he was asking it kind of in the existential sense, why do I drop calls?
Yeah.
But was it Hesse or De La Vega who looks over and says, wait. No, he asked De La Vega. He says, AT&T, why do I drop calls? And asking AT&T that is kind of an obvious question, right? De La Vega didn't miss a beat. He looks over and says, wait, I thought you said you had Verizon.
Yeah, Verizon, right? And then Jim Cramer wouldn't stop talking about Netflix.
Yeah, he kind of had a hard-on for Netflix.
He is a huge hard-on for Netflix.
Not that he shouldn't. That's an important thing, I think.
You know what I thought was one of the most interesting financial debates of the time? You know, towards the end, he said, I want to ask you, like, friend or foe, when he listed companies like Facebook. Are they a friend or foe to, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint? You know, Ralph started off with AT&T, and he's like, friend, you know? Like, they're good. Content's good. And Dan Hesse was kind of like... Well, anybody who is content right now, at least, and brings more people using their phones for other things, and these mobile devices for other things, we see him as a friend for now. But then Jim kind of...
Why are you talking about this question? It was so boring.
No, because Jim flipped it and said, do you feel scared that companies like Facebook and Twitter are valued at $80 billion, $50 million, or $1 billion, and they do shit. Like, or they do stuff. They don't have millions, billions of dollars of infrastructure and everything else, and they're going to have higher market caps than you. Are you worried that they start spending that money and coming into where you're at?
And everybody gets a femtocell, and then we pay Twitter for our...
Or something. I thought it started off as a boring question that got really interesting on that point, because that is a wicked question.
Well, and they dodged it quite well.
Because what's that mean if they dodge it quite well?
Yeah.
It means it's a legitimate, likely concern that... You have the dot-comers getting way more power again, back like early.
Yeah. Anyway, but bottom line, keynote, better than usual,
yes.
And Dan Hesse, fireplug.
Yes.
And he is not going to... I mean, he made some references about how he wants the FCC to look at this AT&T T-Mobile deal.
Well, he flat out said he thinks it's bad for... And I know where he's coming from. I mean, we all know I came from a print background, and print has seen a lot of consolidation. And there's that concern. I worked for a company called Gannett that owns 80-something, 90-something.
I just want to point out...
Sorry, we're laughing
Kevin,
now because...
Kevin lost his BlackBerry in the height of bed in our hotel room.
As he was getting excited about the boring question.
We are going to have to literally call a handyman because it is just way down in there. And it's trapped in the folds of the metal doom. If we try to unfold...
Okay, I'll do it after the show.
If we try to unfold
it's
gonna
the
height
of bed,
crush the BlackBerry.
We have to lift the whole thing.
Is there a magnet? Can we use, can we fish something?
Keep going. I don't need it right now. If it rings, it rings. Sorry, everybody.
We can't. Okay, we gotta go. Let's actually talk about some products.
Okay, so after the keynote, we ran off to what, like 300 different events. We started, and actually, let me just point out, during this time, no, you came with me to Samsung. We're not to the point where Kevin actually started working. Hang on, I'm calling your phone.
Oh, we know where it is. We know where it is. We just can't guess it.
I wanted to hear it ring from in the couch.
Oh my god. It's on silent, because we're having a podcast.
I might have put it on silent earlier for that keynote, but not.
Anyway, so we went to Samsung, and it was a little weird. So Samsung had been teasing this with the whole 7, 8, 9, 10 advertisements. We've seen it, we've seen the videos, whatever. So the whole train of thought was, all right, they're going to announce an 8.9-inch tablet. And in fact, they did. So it's
basically... It's awesome.
It's awesome and awesomely confusing.
Yeah.
All right, first off, it's thin, it's fast, it's light. It's pretty light.
Very light. Deceptively light, actually. It looks like it should weigh way more for the size.
It's thinner than the iPad 2, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to come out sometime this summer. They don't know when yet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. They did give prices, though. $469, and was it $469 and $569?
Yeah, sure.
For the 8.9, 16 to 32, and the 10.1 is $499.
So the confusing part is
Kevin and I run out to the booth right after the event, and we get there and they're not ready for us.
$499, $599, $469, $560.
Right, yeah. That's for the 8.9 and 10 for 16 and 32 gigabyte versions. Right. So Kevin and I run out to the booth. And they have it roped off. Everything's, like, under drapery or rope, whatever. They're going to do this grand unveiling. And they do it, and we rush there. And Kevin and I are the first ones to one, and we shoot the crap out of it. You know, we do our hands-on, whatever. And one major thing we mentioned was that it's got a textured back, but it was actually pretty slippery. And then we get to an event last night, a full 24 hours later, more than 24 hours later, and we're playing with another 8.9-inch Galaxy Tab, and we're like, hang on a minute. This has a different back.
Yeah, nice, it's, like, soft touch feel to it, yeah.
And I'm asking the Samsung reps there, like, this is a different back. This is a totally different back than what we saw downstairs. And they said, what are you talking about? Turns out, so here's what it is. And this goes into the whole 10.1 tablet that they re-announced, too. So in Mobile World Congress, they initially announced the 10.1-inch tablet we had hands-on.
Which is still coming out, but not in the U.S.
Right. So... they pretty much went back to the drawing board, not completely, but if you remember that post where some Samsung tech guy said, you know, this stuff is inadequate after the iPad 2 came out. Like, what we have right now, the parts are kind of inadequate, we're going to take a look at it or something, right? Yeah. There was some translation loss there and whatever. But so apparently what it is, the tablets they had downstairs at the booth that we did our hands-on with initially are the old, the quote, old version of the 8.9-inch that nobody had seen before anyway.
Right.
Those will still come out somewhere, just not in the U.S. Right. The ones in the U.S. that we weren't allowed to turn on that have the different soft touch back will come out here. So a newer version, slightly newer hardware, you know, whatever, beefed up. But it was really confusing and just odd. I've never seen that happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're Samsung, right? They like to push out lots and lots of products, and they don't, and they see what they throw it at the wall, they see what sticks. Now, I gotta say, these are super impressive, but they didn't have any, like, actual working units.
Not with the new versions. The old versions turned on just fine.
Yeah.
They were a little laggy.
And so, it remains to be seen if they can, you know, actually pull this out by summer.
Right. And when I say a little laggy, this is show floor stuff. You guys all have to remember, these things we see at shows are generally manhandled, and most of the time the software's not finished anyway. Because they're not finished products yet.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem hating on show floor products being laggy.
Really?
Because, let's face it, nothing is as pristine as you get it when you know, take it from the store and take it out of the box. It's that way for a week. And then, you know, you use the thing. People use these things. People beat up on these things. They do unmentionable things to them. And so if it can't stand up to the show floor, then it's okay to point that out, that, like, you know, this, that, or the other.
But are you talking about hardware, or are you talking just the software's not finished?
Yeah.
But the software's not finished.
Well, it's not finished, but, yeah.
I'm just used to RAM, where it's not usually finished for a while.
So that was Samsung, I guess.
I wish there was more to say. I mean, what do we know? It's gigahertz proc. There's going to be, you know, 3G, 4G versions, or just Just 3G versions.
Right
just
now,
Wi-Fi versions.
Right, all they announced, at least pricing wise, was Wi-Fi version. Yeah. I have a feeling.
They said, "Stay tuned for more announcements."
Yeah, I have a feeling we'll see carrier.
They really need to change their Tab Life video interview stuff that's playing at the booth, and they played at the keynote because it was really lame.
Well, they like their lame videos. Hey, man, I mean, at least there wasn't like a bouncing furry character. Was there? I didn't go to this press conference.
Where have you been that they have bouncing furry characters?
I had the funny little, at MWC.
I don't even remember.
Or CES. Anyway, move on.
Okay.
Move on.
What about TouchWiz?
TouchWiz.
Oh, no, it was misspelled, though, on the placards.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it says TouchWiz.
Are you kidding?
Screw me up. My take on my video.
Screw up this stuff.
I'm recording the little video take one, and then I'm like, the Samsung, Galaxy Tab 10.1 with
glass houses. I don't talk about typos.
Hire a copywriter, Samsung, because they screwed. They had misspellings all over on giant banners at CES.
I'm available. I'm
it was just pretty exciting. Yeah, it was TouchWiz. You should just call it TouchWiz. I kind of like that.
TouchWiz is better than TouchWiz.
Okay, so on top of Honeycomb, and these tablets all run Honeycomb, the new ones, which is good. If they'd come out with some Froyo device. I mean, there's no way they would have, but if they had, it would
well,
just
since these things aren't coming out until summer, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Playbook.
Now the 10.1 inch is coming in June.
Yeah.
The
8.9.
The 8.9. They said later
this
summer.
I know
that
you've heard me talk about how I really like the 7-inch form factor, and I'm all about 7-inch form factor because 10-inch is a little bit too big and whatever. And I would love to see a 7-inch form factor at this, at this thinness, which is probably impossible. But the 8.9 really, really felt like a great size to me.
And it didn't feel like oblong. The LG 8.9 one that we used in Spain
that was
felt elongated and weird somehow. But no, this felt perfect. I liked it a lot. The back to Kevin's question about TouchWiz. So it's not full TouchWiz on top of it, I guess.
Right, but they're doing clever things so that it's...
They have something called Live View. It's kind of an updated just group of widgets that they put on there. And it actually looks pretty good.
All of these manufacturers have learned that full-on heavy ultra-replacement skins drive people crazy because they can't get them updated fast enough.
Right.
So both TouchWiz and MotoBlur have scaled back to basically a set of widgets and extra features and a little bit different look of the skin.
Yep.
Sense is still more of an extreme example, but it's well executed, whereas the other ones weren't. And so it looks to me like with TouchWiz for Honeycomb, they're applying that strategy of we're not going to try and reinvent the whole wheel here. We're going to do little bits and bobs so that we can be sure we're on the latest version.
But graphically, it was certainly tweaked. The menus were all kind of colorized like TouchWiz is.
Yeah.
But that's small stuff. I have a feeling they can do that pretty easily.
Yeah.
On the panel discussion with today where there was, high-ranking guys from Samsung, HTC, RIM, Nokia, somebody else, one of the things they talked about was that, and especially all the Android makers, was that customization of the UI and how important it is to them. Because they really think it's about end-to-end user experience and differentiation within that. And, HTC was adamant about, Sense is our way to really focus on the consumer, give something that's easy to use. It gives us our own sort of brand and unique identity. And they viewed basically, HTC's view was specs or table stakes. Like, we get that we always have to have better specs, but it's table stakes. So we can't just compete on that all the time. We need something that could bring people back to, and that's that experience, which is Sense. And it's kind of maybe the opposite of just minor widgets, So I don't know what'll happen there. Are you going to see more big guys go further off just strict Google's Honeycomb experience?
I don't think I want people to. Honeycomb isn't a UI. I mean, it's a series of home screens right now. There's nothing on it. And that's fine. I know a lot of people like that, but the people who like that aren't normal consumers, I don't think.
Right.
If my mother bought an Android tablet with Honeycomb, she would know what the hell to do with it. Because there's nothing there. People need to be led in the right direction, I think.
Yeah.
So that's Samsung. And we kind of went immediately from that to Sprint's event.
Yes!
What happened there, guys?
First off, I must say,
we hugged a pillow. There was some pillow hugging.
Kudos to Sprint. So we walk into this thing way early.
I mean, I will admit, I'm the guy who gets the time wrong.
Yes.
But they said 12:30, and for some reason we thought, okay, it opens at 12:30, then it must start at 1. So we got there at 12:30. And then it turned out it didn't start till 1:30, but it really they didn't get going until
almost two.
It was ridiculous.
But we walk in, and you know, this is all still in the convention center. And if you've ever been in a convention center, they're basically like huge giant warehouses that get dressed up for this stuff. So Sprint just totally decked it out. Kevin's rooting around the couch for his BlackBerry again.
You are not going to get it out that way, dude.
Sorry. Keep talking. I don't mean to distract you.
So they totally had it done up, kind of like a nightclub, kind of loungy. Actually, very much like...
Did you lose that thing? Oh, no, there it is. Okay. Sorry, keep going.
We did a post from the Kyocera Echo event in New York City
that
they did in this hotel club. And it very much kind of reminded me of that, actually. It's very, very well done. So we're all sitting...
Anyway, us getting that early. We got to be front and center.
Yeah, and hang out and get food and drink.
And they gave away... They gave away. They had people walking around with plates of candy-coated strawberries.
Yep.
And then the candy had fruity pebbles embedded in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
We should do a whole podcast about the things we eat and drink and see at these.
Yeah, it'd be totally interesting. I can't wait to follow that website.
All right.
Stupidfoodcentral.com.
Theater.
So then
this
we start
be a secret.
then we start the live blog like half hour right early, now. And we don't know what to do with ourselves. So we're just like commenting on the music playing over the PA,
Terrible.
Well,
usually there's like standard techno music and Black Eyed Peas and blah 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 blah. But this time it was all like emo crap. Like what was Yellow Card?
CS and MWC. They played. TV on the radio, like nonstop.
Yeah, well, that's
awesome.
Fine.
Yeah,
I'm all about that. But this was all like, I'm really unhappy because I'm white and rich, and oh my god, life sucks, and my girlfriend left me. Rah! It was terrible.
That's what the kids listened to today.
Dude, I hated everybody. It was like, it was the whole time, it was Linkin Park knockoffs.
Yes.
And I don't like Linkin Park to begin with. So
I would prefer them to the knockoffs, though.
There you go.
Well, what if they listen to this podcast and they heard that right?
Well,
would you feel
then,
bad?
You can never comment on music without pissing somebody off, and you know what? I'm okay with that.
I heard they like Android phones. Those
Linkin Your music boys. Sucks. Just get over it.
Yeah. Ooh, I think Dan Hesse picked the music.
Oh, my God. No, what did we say?
Actually, no, his kids, because he kept on bringing his kids.
That's right.
His two kids picked the music. Dan Hesse, your kids' choice in music sucks.
No, what did we say? It was the Burnout soundtrack.
It was Burnout. Yeah, exactly. It was a Burnout. Which, actually,
Well, and then at some point they start walking around, and we know a lot of these reps we see there, and this friend of ours walks by and hands us all 3D glasses.
And we're like, oh, you're
we're right. We're like, really? Okay. And I mean, all the Sprint
you
stuff.
You knew they
out.
Were going to do that.
Well, no. I mean, we knew what was coming, right? It all leaked out a day or two.
Well, let's talk about the products.
So, talk about the products. We have the Evo 3D.
Evo 3D,
It is not the Evo 3D 4G. It is not the Evo 4G 3D. It is only the Evo 3D.
Right.
But it's actually, for as badass as the original Evo 4G was, this one goes a little better.
Yeah. It's a sweet Evo, and it happens to have a 3D camera on it, and that's it. Like, it's...
And does 3D playback.
And 3D playback.
No,
and it'll do 3D on TV,
thing.
Blah, blah, blah.
It is the first dual-core Qualcomm Snapdragon processor.
I just want to say, the 3D stuff, in general... Nobody cares except for the people trying to sell 3D stuff.
Mm-hmm.
TVs and especially
on
phones.
Dieter woke up this morning and says, let me ask you this. Who's excited about 3D? And I said, well, LG is so far.
Yeah.
And now HTC. I don't know.
So, if you're worried that they tried to make the whole interface 3D, they did not. It is just straightforward. It's an Evo with a sweet, fast Qualcomm 1.2 gigahertz processor. I don't know what the RAM is off the top of my head. I'm sure it's fine. It's a 4.3-inch screen. It looks fine. It's got a dedicated camera button and a switch to turn off and on 3D mode when you're taking pictures.
Right. And the camera button I want to talk about for 5 seconds, because it's really good. Right now, they've all been rectangular.
It's a gigantic, big circle.
Yeah, it's just a huge button. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, on the Droid X, it's there, but I have a hard time hitting it sometime.
Yeah.
On a couple of the other cameras... but I really like the way they did it.
Yeah,
and it's textured.
It's slightly narrower than the original Evo, and slightly taller.
It's still
the same 4.3-inch screen, so it feels a little bit better in the hand. It's about the same thickness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's 3D, whatever. It's a perfectly good upgrade from the Evo. It's a little bit faster. We'll see what battery life is like.
Well, and they put in the biggest battery... That I think I've ever seen. 1730.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a battery, like a stock battery, come on a phone that was that large. And even some of the extended, you know, normal size batteries
well,
where
they
just cram
it,
in
right?
more cells.
For the WiMAX, it'll let you actually leave WiMAX on and feel good about it.
Yeah. Oh, can I just go on to a tangent here?
Yes.
I didn't even take the Thunderbolt with me today.
Terrible.
Oh my god, I burned through it in 6 hours yesterday.
It's bad.
Now that said, 4G and LTE on it is like badass, nice and fast, and it's, I mean,
yeah,
I love using it, but yeah.
Slow.
Oop, okay. God, I don't want to. I threw my phone on the couch and like dove after it. I was going to lose
all
the couch monsters.
That's all I can think about right now. I'm like,
are you okay? Are you shaking?
We're not gonna hear anything from you for the rest of the.
No, no, I'm good. I'm listening.
I am really excited about the EvoView 4G. They're the Sprint's version of the Flyer.
Yes. The Flyer is seven-inch tablet.
Yeah,
we saw.
Seven-inch tablet. What do we got with it? It's gonna have Blockbuster on demand. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's gonna have their pen input, which doesn't look as dreamy as I want it to be. No, I do.
You guys should have come to that panel discussion today. They were talking about it. Mossberg ripped it apart because the HTC guy was just trying to sell how brilliant this is. He's giving this example about how it's gonna change people in business meetings and this stuff, and every he's going on and on and on, and then Walt just shut him down. He's like, you gotta have a better example than that. And he's like, well, how about kids who buy it and they're all amateur photoshoppers and they take a photo and they want to draw devil horns on it and then upload it right to Facebook?
No.
That's maybe a better example.
And if you know
it's really funny, you had to be there. Sorry.
If you know anybody like that, you need new friends.
Yeah.
No, well, I want to be able to. I tried to take notes today on an iPad. I wanted to draw a sketch of something that we were working on, and then it looked terrible because I'm doing it with my finger and it's big. And like, if I had a pen, it would be cool. But I, beyond just the pen stuff, which I am genuinely excited about, but I don't think it's they haven't gotten the full story there, and they need to release APIs and get third party support. And blah, 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 right? And I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I think this is a nice experiment, and I'm going to use it, and I'm going to do my best with it. But I don't think that it, like, there's no handwriting recognition.
Right.
But, you know, beyond that, it's just, it's a straight up.
But it syncs to Evernote. It'll pull it up wherever you, down wherever you want.
Right. And you can take a screenshot of pretty much anything by just hitting the screen with the pen.
Right.
And annotate it, which is whatever. Who does that?
What you're talking about now is this theme of accessories. And the other one we didn't mention on the Samsung discussion is this little, like, pen accessory that you pull out of your pocket, which is now your Bluetooth device for for text. It's like to use your tab as a phone.
Weren't you there? See that.
You were there. It was in the keynote. Were you sleeping? You were typing too quick?
He was spending the whole time trying to get his LTE stick to work.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, the handshake, the LTE handshake.
Is that what it's called, the little pen?
No, the handshake is when you switch from 3G to 4G, or if the signal just...
Oh, you're talking about... Sorry.
Yeah.
What was the name of that Samsung pen device?
I didn't see it.
Really?
I was trying to do a live blog.
You saw it, though. You know what I'm talking about.
I wasn't there, dude.
I don't think it exists.
You are the only one.
You have a blog post. You have to write
that. The blogosphere.
No, the guy was... Omar was talking about it again today when they got on accessories, right? And everybody's trying something because accessories are a huge business. And they were saying, you know, like... More than ever, people aren't just buying, you know, with phones, people bought the phone and then they worry about afterward accessories to buy, historically.
Yeah.
But now, last 18 months or so, you know, even the accessories are driving the purchase decision, like the Flyer with that pen. Like, you're genuinely saying, I would maybe buy this tablet over another one because it's got a pen I could use to take notes.
Yeah.
Versus another one.
I am saying that.
And this is something like Samsung's trying to do with this little, it's like a pen Bluetooth thing, wear it in your shirt pocket, it looks okay, and then you want to use your tablet, but also do other stuff with voice input, you put it to your ear. You got a blog post to write, that's all I can say. You got a
cool sounds like you have a blog post to write.
Dude.
Anyway, the Flyer is better than the Tab, which maybe is damning with faint praise, but it's really, it really looks and feels cool. It's got Sense on it, it'll get Honeycomb when it comes.
Dual core 1.5 gigahertz.
Yeah, it's fast. It you know, it feels a little bit thick after, you know, all the Samsung stuff, but that's not coming out until June anyway.
The carousel UI, and I'm doing the little swiping motion with my arm wildly as I speak about it. I liked it. I think you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. It looks like SPB Mobile Shell.
They stole it from SPB Mobile Shell.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like completely. But whatever. So, you know, will I recommend people go out and buy a HTC View 4G? That's a really hard choice. If it was out last month, I would have been like, yeah, if you want an Android tablet, this is one to get, even though it's not Honeycomb, because it'll get Honeycomb eventually. The pen thing is cool. It's a good form factor, blah, blah, blah. But
I mean, it comes out this spring, which could be May, right? And then the Samsung stuff, which is thinner and way hotter, is coming out, you know, May, June, July, who knows?
Best Buy has a Wi-Fi only flyer.
And they're coming out exclusivity on that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm buying. That's what I'm going to buy.
Yep.
I do not envy anybody who's interested in buying an Android tablet right now.
No, wait,
the
hang
decision
on.
Right. Is so hard.
Yeah, we've got the three of us in the room, and we've all used iPads. Everybody knows what an iPad is.
Yeah.
If you had to go out and buy a tablet right now, what would you buy?
iPad.
Kevin?
Playbook/iPad. iPad is... For what I would use a tablet for, the iPad is very easy.
Aunt June calls you and says, I want a tablet. What do you tell Aunt June to buy?
Oh, Aunt June.
Yeah.
iPad.
Yeah.
My wife called
iPad
last night. My wife's looking for a new laptop, and she called last night and said, hey, should I get an iPad instead? And a keyboard.
Yeah, they own the market, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, you know, all these tablets, all these Android tablets, they're not selling yet. Nobody's got a hit yet.
I mean, for me, this is the first week I've sort of been exposed to them, and I get this... I mean, it's kind of Android in general with some of these newer phones, too. My general impression is I feel the power. I see the power. It's quick. It's got lots of stuff it can do.
Isn't that a slogan for something? Feel the power?
I don't know.
You should be.
Feel the vibe.
I'm trademarking that right now.
But it feels like that easy experience that maybe Apple has with their products just isn't there. So it's kind of like power, but it's not wielded in a real... It's not wieldy power. It's unwieldy power unless you invest the time to kind of learn everything.
It's like a broadsword. It's awesome and you can cleave heads with it, but you've got to be really strong. You've got to spend time learning how to use it.
Kind of. That's a good... Let's go with that example. Yeah. I like that. So...
Okay, then.
What?
Android decapitates the competition.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you can feel the power. I see why Android is attracting all the techies.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why the hardware in that, when you walk into a store and you're like, this display is huge and awesome, maybe I don't want an iPhone or whatever, I can see why it attracts, you know, anybody who's not selling somebody's... What is that?
Just let it go, man.
That wasn't your phone, Kevin.
I was excited.
That was Dieter's phone. Your phone is gone.
But
did you not bring that phone? Is that your only phone?
He's never, ever going to get a phone call again.
Yeah.
And if he does, he doesn't have
any... If anybody needs Kevin, please call his couch.
What I was trying to say is I see what the Android hype is about, but it still feels to me like it's got a long way to go for being an average consumer appealing device. It's still much too...
It's still
too much
nerdy.
Time invested.
It's still a little nerdy.
And I mean, BlackBerry has the same issues, right? Or always has. It's not as simple as it should be, but... You know, if the average person uses their BlackBerry for email, text, and phone calls, it's not horrible that it's not as intuitive as it should be.
Right.
So Android is iPad all day right now, but hopefully that's not the case for long.
That was it for the new devices, right?
Whoa, what about the G-Slate? Or it's not new.
Well, it's not new.
That's not new.
But we actually got the... You know,
oh, I see. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the T-Mobile branded version of the LG...
I shot a video of the LG girl.
Yes, you did.
Head to toe to head.
Sweet.
Everything in between.
So we had that. We had the AT&T Thrill, which is AT&T's version of the Optimus 3D and does 3D graphics. And Dieter was very excited, even though...
Yeah, don't talk about me. I got to walk out of the room for a minute.
Can I talk about the playbook while you're gone?
Yeah.
Right on.
So it does 3D, but it's the LG Optimus 3D, just like we saw. Mobile World Congress. What else? The Acer Iconia tablet has been here. It's an Acer tablet. Hooray.
He talked about the G2X.
The G2X, which is T-Mobile's version of the LG Optimus 2X.
Right.
So a lot of branded stuff that's not necessarily new, except that it has a logo on it.
How does that phone? Like, I haven't played with...
I've got one at home. I didn't bring it with me. So it is the first dual-core processor phone, and... Kind of any review now that I talk about dual core, at least for the next 6 months, starts out, it didn't melt. Right? I mean, because everybody talked about dual core for a long time and nobody knew what it was going to do. So it's a dual core Tegra 2 processor. It doesn't get hot in your hand. It doesn't, you know, chomp through a battery. Like the Thunderbolt chomps through a battery. It's single core.
Because
it's just pulling that much, right? It needs that much, you know, power, that much juice.
Have they clocked it way down or something?
No,
or
no. It doesn't... You're working, you know, twice as much, not twice as fast. Or half as hard, not twice as fast.
Right.
We've talked about that before. So we saw a lot of kind of, you know, carrier-branded stuff.
I was impressed. Like, I didn't play with it much, but at least, like, snapping a photo and stuff. Mm-hmm. To just, like, click, like, take you know, open camera app, snap photo, put it away.
Right.
Very quick.
No, the two things you get is better graphics, and on a screen that small, even 4 inches, it can be kind of tough to see.
Yeah.
And you get better video output.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we're going to see quad-core stuff by August. We're going to have quad-core tablets coming out by August.
So here's a general question for you.
Yes.
Is, do you feel like the plethora of tablets has changed what you value in an Android phone now?
No.
Like, you don't want a keyboard on your Android phone now because you have a tablet for all your fun.
Yeah, you know, stuff. I'm still hit and miss on physical keyboards. Like, I can take them or leave them. Oh, by the way, now that Dieter walks back into the room, you got to touch the HTC Merge.
Yeah. Was it hot?
So we're sitting in the room with HTC doing our hands-on with the new Evo stuff. And at the end of it, I'm like, hey, Dieter, see that phone line right there? Just kind of looking at you the whole time. He's like, yeah. So what? Like, dude, it's the Merge. The Merge, for anybody who doesn't know, I got an exclusive, a break-exclusive.
Break-exclusive!
Break-exclusive! I saw this thing way back in October, and it just never came out. It had Verizon branding at the time, disappeared, like it was never announced or anything. So it's now been announced for Alltel, and I think we just got pricing for it as well. So Dieter got to use it. I mean, HTC can make hardware. They can make keyboards, speaking of physical keyboards.
Yeah, it's a beautiful... beautiful keyboard.
I'm taking more than my share of the $33 beer. Is that okay?
Until you use a BlackBerry Full Touch.
Is it all gone?
Yeah.
No!
You can get two.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Damn it.
You already have two?
Room service. Somebody find Kevin's phone.
I'll sacrifice mine. I'm going to hit the gym after this.
Sure?
Yep.
Okay.
BlackBerry Full Touch is going to have an awesome keyboard, too, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
Did they have those here?
Screw you.
Damn it.
Screw you.
So Dieter got to see the Merge, so if you're on Alltel at least, and other carriers as well. ACC has made it very clear that it's coming to multiple carriers. We just don't know anymore other than Alltel right now. It might still come to Verizon, but I doubt it.
Yeah, after all that?
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. In fact, I asked them who the poor bastard was who had to go scrape the Verizon logo off all the ones sitting there. They wouldn't tell me.
Yeah, funny. That was two nasty things we said to HTC.
No, I love HTC.
Oh, of course we love HTC.
Yeah, but we give them a hard time.
Deeply and truly.
That was, I mean, I hate to say that's it, but that's kind of it. I mean, the weird thing was just the two versions of the Samsung tablets. And it took a little while to figure out and had to talk to like three people. But
I don't know, man. I think that maybe you just weren't paying attention.
Well, then that's entirely possible as well.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what happened. We skipped the little booth workers and went right to the device.
Oh, you know what I got to play with finally, because I didn't get to use it in Barcelona, actually. It was the Xperia Play.
Oh, yeah, that's the one with the remote, like the game controller.
Yeah,
the
Nintendo. So you play PlayStation that too. Games. It was a little laggy, I thought. The button response wasn't as good as it needs to be.
Conceptually, I kind of like the premise I have.
Yeah,
there,
and the device, like hardware-wise, it wasn't thick.
I figured
it would be thicker than it is.
Hey, did you guys talk about the LG stuff when I was gone?
Yeah, most of it's just now carrier brand.
Yeah, it's just now I got carrier brand.
Not a whole lot to say.
G2X!
You want to talk about Playbook? You got to see some stuff that we hadn't seen before.
Yeah. I mean, the last time I played with the Playbook was at a New York media event, but that software was unfortunately the same that was at CES.
Right.
And basically the word is, I mean, internally it's a new software build like literally every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're showing off to media, and that's been changing. At South by Southwest last week, they showed off some newer stuff where, you know, portrait mode was now in full effect. But even it was kind of hokey there. And then the one I played with yesterday was running a newer software build, which had a lot more polish. I was able to get some videos of, you know, just the little things that you need on a device at launch. Like, now the clock app, the calculator app, the native weather apps were all installed, looking really good. Portrait mode was running smoother, getting a better sense of notifications. They wouldn't let me do a video of it, but, you know, the top left corner of the screen kind of starts glowing when there's stuff happening.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, and then you swipe down from an angle, so it was, you know, like if the battery's low or something, you get a little blinky, and then you swipe, and it'll tell you, hey, 10% battery life remaining, that kind of thing. This week, they announced pricing on the Playbook, which was big.
Finally,
so they had no presence at the show. Well, they were at PepCon last night with three people in a small booth, but they announced pricing. It's basically same as, I guess, iPad, right? It's starts at $499, Wi-Fi only, 16 gig, and then it goes $599. I think $699 for 32 and 64. They announced a bunch of retailers, so it's going to be available from your Best Buys and Staples. You can actually pre-order it now. carriers will be carrying it to the sounds like the Wi-Fi only, and of course when the 3G, 4G versions come out. A lot more polished. I mean, the big thing we're seeing, and again, that panel discussion I went to today, Uncle Walt there asked the question about how are we going to release a tablet that doesn't have native email, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
And, you know, the answer there from Jeff McDowell, who's one of the senior guys at RIM, so the playbook falls in his lap. You know, basically what it came down to is, you know, they want to push this thing to market. They started off talking to a lot of their existing customers in enterprise, and they said, hey, it would be great if we could have a tablet that does everything you guys do with phones. You know, it basically is secure. It uses the NOC. We have control over it, and we can get it ASAP. And they said, okay, well, our short-term, you know, and then basically in that discussion, then the QNX acquisition happened, right?
Yeah.
So all these things are kind of happening at the same time. QNX is a new platform for RIM. It's got awesome legs, awesome potential. It's completely changed like what RIM's going to look like 2 years from now. But it's going to take them time to build that same ability to tunnel back to the NOC with all the security and infrastructure that's built into the BlackBerry operating system. So the bridge could literally be nicknamed the BlackBerry Band-Aid, because what it's doing is it's piggybacking on the phones to use the phone as the tunnel back to the NOC and all RIM services instead of not being able to do it, or, you know, waiting a year to get this thing, or 6 more months for it to do it natively.
I've been telling people that for 6 months. Why don't they listen?
What do you mean?
That's why there's no native email.
Yeah, that's exactly
why. They need enterprise security.
Yeah,
and they can't
build it. Now, what he said on stage today was like, look, we're working on there. It's going to be there in 2 months, but we got to push it to market because we got to push it to market. We got to start selling these. Yes, it's really making people kind of confused. I mean, Walt asked a great question, which is, so when I review this thing in a few weeks, am I supposed to say, well, you know, if you want to have native email and, or if you want email and calendar on your tablet, don't buy a playbook, go buy this competitor. And it's kind of a, well, you know, their answer right now is, look, there's shortcuts for Gmail and Yahoo Mail on the device. It's not an always connected device. Yeah, you hit the power button, it's there, you tap the icon, you're in the web browser, and it looks great and works great.
You know what? I honestly, not having native email, even if they have unsecure email, if you want secure email, use a bridge. If you want insecure email, go ahead and use this for your personal stuff. Not having an email client at launch, for me, is a reason to delay it at least a month. If they can get it done in a month...
They can't delay it past June.
Well, they should be able to.
But what they've also said is third party people can build it. The thing is, I think RIM doesn't want to really.
Dude,
RIM telling third parties to build the email client is like, like Apple telling a third party to bring on an app store instead because theirs isn't, you know, ready for whatever. They're like, no.
Understandable.
Yeah.
But they're what I was told back at CES, even on the playbook, is we're taking an Apple approach on this. Look, iPhone 1 didn't have cut and paste, iPhone 1 didn't have an app store. They still pushed it to market, and everything they've rolled out.
But nobody else had an app store either.
No, I know. Well, CrackBerry app store.
Oh, jeez. In the Windows Marketplace for mobile.
There you go. And they're going to take the Apple approach, and when they roll it out, they're going to make sure they do it right. And until then, they're just going to reinvent it, right? So Playbook and Launch is going to have the bridge, and then a couple months later, they've got a very quick upgrade cycle. But and the big thing here is they're not tied to carriers for upgrades.
And that is a big thing.
Okay, true. Here's my problem. They're releasing it without an email client. That is going to be the first thing everybody mentions.
That's my argument too. Yeah,
and that's the only thing anybody's going to remember about it.
Yeah, that's why I said too.
The email experts at BlackBerry made a product that can't do email. That's all anybody's going to remember.
That's like releasing an Android device that can't look at porn.
Yeah. There you go.
Android phones for porn. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
No, I agree. And I've made that argument to numerous... Every chance I've got, I've made that argument. I said, look, you need to fix this so the conversation goes away immediately. Like, you don't understand. I get your excuse that, you can use webmail. It's not an always connected device, blah, 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 blah. But, like, dudes, it's a standard now. It doesn't matter if
you
don't need it.
I've heard people be like, well, you know, email's not so great on the iPad. It's like, come on.
It's there.
Now, the only argument that's valid, sort of, and it's a usage case thing, is, okay, so even when I have an iPad, I mean, I've had the iPad 1 since it got released, I've had the iPad 2 since you bought one for me online, thanks, Dieter.
Yeah.
But you know what it comes down to is even when the iPad's in my hand, if I get an email or something, I grab my BlackBerry and click.
Not me.
I never. But I got the iPad. That's just inefficient, right?
Well, here's the thing.
It pains me to see you take notes on it. I'm like, really?
Well, dude, the playbook will always be just an accessory to a BlackBerry until they make it be
a little bit. Which is a huge marketing message problem.
Stupid.
They don't want it. They say it's a great standalone Wi-Fi device, but I agree with you. Anybody who's a tech writer or a consumer who does some reading,
I would never recommend the playbook to anybody except for hardcore BlackBerry users until they fix these problems.
And note the date that it's only March 23rd, and in 2 months, this problem might not exist.
Yeah, I hope so, because they have been so good.
At that point, the hardware that they announced when? November? December?
September.
September?
September.
Jesus, it's going to be 9-10 months old.
Still awesome, though. Their hardware is still really good.
I love what high expectations everybody outside the WebOS world has.
No, but what's bad on the Playbook's hardware? They've still got the TI OMAP 430s which are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, no, the Playbook is actually really, really good. If you haven't had a chance to play with one or you haven't watched the videos, it is surprisingly compelling. It is really good.
Like the Facebook thing yesterday we recorded. I don't know how other tablets do
this. This is a big deal, the Facebook thing, because it has a file chooser.
Okay, so there's no Facebook app, at least yet, and I don't think there's one planned immediately because it has the awesome Torch web browser built in.
Okay.
So basically, when you log into Facebook, it's the full Facebook website that you're going to see on your MacBook Air and your HP laptop that's right here.
Did you just get paid by them to say that?
Yes, I did. Ching! And when you log in, it's full Facebook, so we're talking Facebook chat is there, all your Facebook stupid apps are there.
Yeah.
And then at the top you have, you know, Kevin Michaluk wants to share something. So if you click photos, I want to share a photo, and you click upload a photo, it then pulls up the camera app on the Playbook. And
it pulls up the camera app?
Well, it pulls up, it was a file share for music, videos, and photos.
WebOS does that, although I don't know if they do it directly from the browser, and I know that iOS doesn't.
But it took you right to the browser. Like, it was a smooth experience for a website to on-device media back to the website.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was good. But on 7 inches, the full Facebook site is a little not friendly. Mm-hmm. You need a bigger screen for that particular website. CrackBerry looks great, though.
Have you loaded up? How does CrackBerry look?
Looks okay. Looks good, yeah. I mean, I'd like a higher res screen, but it's
what
fine.
Is the resolution on the Playbook? 1024 by 600?
I think that's right.
Yeah. That's a standard for 7-inch tablets, usually.
Yeah.
600 is what I don't like, because, you know, we're so used to, like, on modern-day websites, like, ours and, like, most of the big tech ones, the headers have gotten so tall.
Yeah.
You know, like, which is fine on any other device except a 7-inch tablet, right? Or
what
maybe
else
netbooks.
Did, you get exclusive Playbook. The calculator's got a...
Calculator app.
Calculator app. Tip calculator, woo! Scientific calculator.
Sorry, BlackBerry developers.
And converter all built into the calculator app.
No converter or tip apps. It's all built into the calculator.
Damn it. What am I going to learn how to develop now?
There's still $6 calculator apps on AppWorld, too. So that guy was cursing that video. Built-in weather app, which looked half decent. Yeah. You know, like, they're doing stuff. There was other I saw. I mean, I can talk about it. I just wasn't allowed to video it. But I saw AppWorld, too. They just wouldn't let me video.
Yeah.
Looked good. A lot, I mean... AppWorld on a phone versus AppWorld on a tablet.
Right.
You know, the phone is... BlackBerries have small screens, right? This phone. So this is a way different experience and all touch-based and good. System settings were way more, too, than I've ever seen before. So we saw... You know, the first time I saw the systems, they won't let us video them because they're still changing. But now there's things for, like, tethering, there's an option.
Right.
File sharing, there's an option. There's way more options. The first time I saw the Playbook, you couldn't change the wallpaper on the device. It wasn't built in yet. So the most encouraging thing I can say for anybody listening about where RIM is at is in September, this device didn't even exist. Okay, I mean, you could say otherwise, but really, like, it was nearly vaporware at the time. They had a shell, they pumped in video, and they had maybe a couple working prototypes.
Yeah.
They've done more development and made more progress on this operating system in 6 months than they have in the last 6.5 years on the BlackBerry operating system.
Wow. 6.5, the genuine?
Absolutely. Since I've been around, which is 4 years now.
Yeah, I know. I'm totally with you.
Going from BlackBerry OS 4.1 or 0.2 to BlackBerry 6.1 that's rumored to come out this year still.
Yeah, it's
there is more.
I can't tell the difference except the browser.
Skins, but it's basically been the same. And that's... They made their bed 10 years ago, and they've been lying it. How that part, you know, that operating system was made to get the most out of really poor performing hardware in an efficient manner, and it's never been able to take advantage of better hardware specs over the years.
Right.
You know, like, that's the thing. You could throw, they're going to throw this year, like, gigahertz processors in the BlackBerry phones. It'll be better, but I don't think you're ever going to unleash the potential of the hardware, because that operating system just isn't made for it. Whereas QNX is the complete opposite. They can develop super fast, and it's more forward-looking than anything. So I think even now, like, dual-core, four-core, you're going to see, I'm going to make a bet, you could see RIM with a tablet go quad-core before you see maybe Android do it even.
And there's the rumor that, you know, and still unfounded, I mean, we haven't seen anything official, that Android apps in some way, shape, or form will somehow run on them. I still, anytime that sentence is uttered, I still say, that's cool, but you still got to get them on the device somehow. Just because you can run Android apps doesn't mean, like, you're going to have the Android market on there. And
yeah, Google will not give you Android market.
No, absolutely
so
not.
We so we first talked so we about that back in May.
Right.
Before the playbook was ever announced.
Like,
there's
like
a
May
podcast
2010.
Where we're, yeah, like, yeah, we were talking about this nearly a year ago. That's how hot the rumors were. And that it was capable of doing it back then. But the decision was, like, should we do it? Should we not do it? Which is probably a huge decision for a long time.
I don't know.
What do you think? What does it mean? What does it mean if they could run, if you can take Android apps and relatively easily run them on a playbook?
Well, I mean,
they'll get games. They'll get games faster. Not that there's a ton of great games on Android. Sorry, there's not. They're not enough at all.
You just don't know where you're looking.
That's because you can't find anything in the Android market.
Well, then there's that.
but we also heard, though, that app installation would be locked to the app world.
Right.
So, you know, and we tried at the New York event going to BlackBerry JAD files, because if Android were to run, it's the same way or something that old BlackBerry apps would run.
And
it just closes the web browser if it doesn't link the file. So
can and will Amazon get into the game? Because the Amazon app market, the Amazon app store, which Apple is suing them over, the name, by the way, if you haven't seen that, that finally went live this week. I haven't even had time to see it yet, but that went live with Angry Birds as its exclusive app. It has more exclusives since then. I'm still not crazy about app developers, you know, selling their souls just for Amazon, but whatever. I don't know. Does Amazon get into the game as well? Does Amazon get into the game and then push Android? I mean, because all an APK is on Android is just, it's a wrapper. It's a zipped file. You change the file extension to zip. You can open it up and take a look at the manifest and everything inside. Do they take those and push stuff to BlackBerry as well? I don't know. It's really getting interesting.
We saw the HTC HD 7S, which is Windows Phone 7 phone for AT&T. It's the same thing as the T-Mobile version, except it's got a super LCD screen. It looks very pretty.
I want to point out that 13 months later, Windows Phone 7 isn't any easier to say.
Yeah, no, it's really not. Do we have the Crickets file queued up, where you can play the Cricket sound?
No.
No,
I can fart for you if you want.
No, I want to talk about the presence of Apple and WebOS, you know, Palm here.
Microsoft did have a little booth, a Windows Phone 7 booth.
Yeah.
I took a tour of that this morning.
Nokia announced the Astound.
Yes, the Astound on AT&T. I took a look at it, and I don't know Nokia.
It's a perfectly fine
touchscreen
feature phone. It's got a browser that is,
I love the hardware,
better than a standard feature phone browser, but seriously, it's not going anywhere. I'm sorry.
But it's like a little torpedo in your hand. It's like, it's shiny. It's chromey.
Did CTIA give you the...
Huh?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
He just whispered something to me.
I can't say it on the podcast. What it looks like.
Oh.
It looks like the kind of thing that if you...
it looks like this microphone.
Oh, God.
If it goes off in your suitcase, you get embarrassed.
Yes.
Okay. Do you get the impression from a show like CTIA that it's basically become Apple versus everybody?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, like, yeah.
They're here. They hover over the whole thing.
And yet they're not here.
But they're not here.
Which is the way,
which is the way it's been.
And the way it should be.
Since the iPhone was released.
Yeah. No, and that's a question I asked. Like, as long as it takes devices to come to market after they're announced, should companies like Samsung get out of CTIA and get out of CES? Or maybe CES, right?
No, but see that's.
But you have to, because we're
that's
all.
That's the thing with the announcements here, especially the Samsung announcements, is it the Samsung tablet announcements were so clearly reactive to the iPad 2. Like, they may as well have said, iPad 2 freaked us out, so we're going to announce something earlier.
No, they did say that. I mean, not. officially
said it on the floor to me. They said we re-engineered everything so it's thinner than the iPad after the iPad 2.
We freaked out because of the iPad 2, so we're going to announce something 3 months earlier than we really should, just so that people don't laugh us out of the room.
You know, what I found interesting at this show is, you know, coming from being in this perspective where, you know, we've had a couple of years of pretty good BlackBerry adoption in the market, going away a little bit as Android grows, etc. So, you know, for me as an outsider, and I'm sure lots of readers of Android Central, that you get this impression that Android is awesome, it is growing, it is the place to be, etc. But then again, at this panel session, which you guys should have been at...
Sorry.
You have, you know, Motorola, Samsung, and HTC all on stage, who are all running Android. Yep. But instead of getting this impression of Android is awesome and powerful, I really got the impression, especially with Walt kind of poking at everybody, that it was more like everybody's kind of very conservative, worried, not sure it's going to happen. Because individually, they're all could be screwed.
I completely agree. Like, it's like Android isn't really even like a thing or a product in itself that everybody is... It's like it's the new default. It's like if they were complaining about, I don't know, will hardware move fast enough to do what we want to do? It's like it's now this monolithic thing that everybody's attached to, and they don't really know how they feel about it, but they don't have any choice but to use it because that's what they've got.
Yeah, like it seems like Android as a movement is more exciting than being in the manufacturer position where it's... Everybody's still a little scared right now because things are changing so fast. There's so much competition among Android manufacturers.
And they're all...
And then iPhone. Yeah. And then BlackBerry's still there. Nobody's
still
there.
Well, I think everybody has this really contentious relationship with Google. Google's a really hard company to suss out. You don't really know what Google wants, what Google's trying to do. And, you know, Google has been shifting. Like, their BFF is different every week. They sleep around. You know, like they start with HTC and then they move to Motorola and then they move to Samsung and now, you know, maybe LG's going to get in on the action. And like, you know, they're sleeping with everybody and nobody knows who their favorite is. It's like, you know, they've got multiple wives and all the manufacturers are the wives and they're all competing with each other trying to figure out, you know, who's the best ones.
It's the Mormon operating system.
Well, that's... You know, I didn't want to go there, but I did. Basically,
it's the Big Love.
It's a good show. When I've seen it, I've always enjoyed it.
Well, it's over now. You missed it.
It's off the air.
Yeah, finale. I won't spoil it for you.
Bill Paxton, what's his name?
Yeah.
Bill Paxton is Google, and his wives are the manufacturers.
Do you know how it ends?
I don't.
What happens?
Then it's kind of a bad metaphor right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not well.
I watched the finale Sunday.
Does it end not well?
I wouldn't crazy
spoiler
about,
alert.
I wasn't crazy about the ending.
We're gonna say what the ending of Big Love is right now. Fast forward 20 seconds. Tell us.
Crazy neighbor shoots Bill.
Sweet.
What?
Dead.
Oh, that's so like...
I can't wait to watch
American
it. I love knowing
Beauty.
The ending.
Really?
It makes it better to know the ending, I think.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't believe in spoilers,
why?
Actually.
What? Like, just...
Let it go. Reason. Just let it go, man. People who...
It's like your phone.
Wait.
You gotta let it go.
People who we told to fast forward 20 seconds are listening now.
Yes.
And so we can't refer to the spoiler.
Wow.
That was incredible.
I can't believe they got on that spaceship.
It was a snow globe.
The whole time.
Everybody ended up dead in a church. Wait, that was Lost?
Oh, God.
Sorry. Speaking of bad endings. And speaking of bad endings.
We need to end this now.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. We are the smartphone experts.
Ish.
We consist of seven sites, maybe fewer, maybe more in the future.
Well, anyway,
food
central.
But the folks you've been listening to here today is myself, Dieter Bone. You can find me as @Backlon on the Twitters and on whatever site I feel like writing for. Quite often it's at precentral.net.
Wow. Kevin Michalak. You can find me on Twitter @CrackberryKevin, and you can mainly find me on crackberry.com, but I kind of had fun this week, so maybe I'll moonlight here and there.
Yeah.
Ish.
We like it.
And I am Phil Nickinson from Android Central @PhilNickinson on Twitter. And Kevin, thank you so much for helping out this week. That was
fun. This was a lot of fun at the show.
I thought it was awesome.
I had a good time. And I didn't fall asleep during the keynote.
Yay!
Oh my God.
I will admit I was nodding off, but at the same time...
During the panel?
Yes.
Dude, that was awesome.
That was...
No, not during the panel, but before the panel.
Oh.
I was nodding off.
Whatever.
Janikowski.
That's okay.
Well, I'd driven like.
But he looks like Matthew Broderick.
And sleepy.
If we end it right now, we'll be under an hour.
Hit stop.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
See ya.